Hey, everybody, it's Lisa Lampanelli, the Queen of Maine, and you know what? I got my own podcast. Yeah, does everyone have one? Pretty much, but mine's different because I'm going to help you like I help myself. Get Stuffed with Lisa Lampanelli every week is going to teach you how to have the fabulous life that I have. If you don't listen, you're just stupid and don't want to help yourself, so don't even listen. I don't even want you to. But if you do, if you disobey my orders and listen, you can go to feralaudio.com or download it from iTunes. But again, don't listen. I don't even care.
Hey, Weird Adults. Today's episode is brought to you by Audible.com. Audible has the best audiobook performances, the largest library, and the most exclusive content, and you'll feel something when you listen. Learn more at audible.com/weirdadults, where you can get 30 days free and one free audiobook. It's awesome, and just so you know, I'm right now reading Missoula. I think it's a must read, and it's super easy to digest if you're listening to it on Audible. I'm also highly, extremely beyond above recommending you read or listen to on Audible, So You've Been Publicly Shamed by John Ronson. If you are of the now, if you are living in the time that we're living, which I hope you are if you're listening to this, if not, please seek medical attention because you are in fact dead. But if you are living, you have to read So You've Been Publicly Shamed by John Ronson, and you can get it for free by going to audible.com/weirdadults. This book is such a necessary read because it's so relevant to the times we're living in, and I just think it's awesome. All right, guys, check it out, audible.com/weirdadults. Hey guys, welcome to the show. I have someone I'm super psyched for you to meet or get to know better, Justin Martindale.
Hi.
Girl, you are my favorite. You're my favorite comedian. Like, I have so much fun. Every Saturday that I'm at the Comedy Store, I get to watch you, and You're funny as fudge.
Thanks. It's fun. I have a good time. You and I always go up either before or after each other lately.
Yeah, I know. We're a little duo, and I'm loving it.
Uh-huh.
Because you're different every time. And, oh my gosh, your Debbie Reynolds, Carrie Fisher joke. Because I've been so on a kick about them. Like, I've been so obsessed with them. Uh-huh. I just think their story is so beautiful. And I love their documentary. And you just, I love your take on them. And it's so, it's just funny. And it's not disrespectful or rude. It's just like a funny, honest take. And it's your point of view. And I don't know if you want to, like, sum it up or.
Well, I mean, I just feel like, it was, everyone died in 2016, especially like everybody that I liked and appreciated. And I just thought it was like, that was like the top, like George Michael died on Christmas. I was like, what? And then it was like Carrie Fisher had a heart attack and everyone's like, no. And then I was just like, but leave it to Debbie Reynolds to just upstage her own daughter's death and just be like, you call that a death? I'll show you. Hollywood, am I right? Like, but I feel like, honestly, and out of all respect, I feel like it's one of those stories, like classic Hollywood, like we'll never be able, I don't feel like there won't be another death like that, like a mother-daughter relationship that strong that they
had. I've never heard of that.
I've never either.
To be fair, like if you watch the documentary, it does seem like Debbie was really sick and on her way out, but it is still, it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
That's the HBO one?
Yeah, Bright Lights.
I haven't seen it yet, but they bumped it up because of the whole dead thing.
There's something about that whole thing that like I'm very drawn to, and it makes me like want a daughter and to be close to her and just like have that happen. I don't know. I think it's very beautiful.
Yeah.
And I love your take on it.
Thanks. And they live next door to each other and they were like, who cares? You know what I mean? I'm like, I feel like when you're that established, she's like, I'm Princess Leia and I'm Debbie Reynolds and like we're neighbors and like, who cares? Like you're in that like bubble commune of family.
Yeah.
Which feels like it's very protected, much like this studio we're in.
Yeah.
From all the crazy nonsense of outside and the outside world.
Wait, so Justin, what have you been up to? Like, it seems like you've been writing on stuff. Like, what's your deal?
What's your damage?
Are you Belle? Like, what's your deal?
I'm working. I'm writing. I just wrapped Cake Wars.
Uh-huh.
My third season of Cake Wars, which I'm not a baker. I don't bake. I was hired to write jokes for the host.
That's
cool. Jonathan Bennett from Mean Girls.
Is he nice?
He's very nice.
What's he like?
He's crazy.
Really?
Like, good crazy.
I didn't realize he was a host. Does he act still? Or
Yeah. He does stuff like that.
Has he hosted all three seasons that you've been writing on?
Has he been on all of them?
Yeah.
Hosting? Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, I did Celebrity Cupcake Wars. That's where I started. And it's real fun. It's easy. I've never really, like, written jokes for anybody before.
Yeah.
So this is kind of like...
Didn't you write for, like, Fashion Police or something?
I did, yeah. When Joan Rivers was still alive.
That's so cool.
I did do that. And then, so just been writing, trying to get back on the road. I want to act more.
Mm-hmm.
Get out there, because I feel like now, if anything, there needs to be a voice.
A voice?
For the LGBTQRSTUVWXYZ community. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm grabbing my Snapple. Okay. I just feel like, now it's comedians just got to be, you know, honest and forward and make a voice and stick to their guns on things because
you have
shit's getting crazy.
I know you have an interesting story that like there's almost this like. What's the word? This like
burn. When's it my turn? No, that wasn't it. No,
Little you're like
reference.
Very. There's like a mythical story behind your start at the Comedy Store.
Oh,
do you even remember?
I remember. Yeah.
Why don't I tell my version?
Yeah. Let's play telephone.
Have you done my podcast before? I feel like you have, but I know
we did one with. Where were we? We were like Red Band's house or something.
Oh,
when
maybe
we did
Brody
one.
And me or something. Oh, no, we did it. Yeah, I know.
Years ago.
That was like my first evolution of my podcast, the Piecast.
Yeah.
That
was like long ago.
You're so OG. Like, you're not even. That's crazy. Okay, so my version of your story is that I was at the Comedy Store. I've been there for like maybe a year or two. And it was just like. I was all in. I was there every night till 2, 3, 4 a.m. on stage doing the lip-syncing dance thing with Dawn and doing the open mic Sunday, Monday. I was my life was full Comedy Store. Like, that was my college campus and those were where my classes were. That's frightening. And fully submersed in the culture. So, then it's all about like, where's Mitzi? I'd seen her, I think, twice at this point, which is a large amount.
That's fucking huge. That's like two Sasquatch like scenes. You've seen her twice.
And if you don't know, Mitzi is the owner of the Comedy Store, but she's currently very ill, like with a capital V, and just, I don't know what her deal is, but she's not well and it's pretty sad, but she's very old, so it's normal.
She lived
I
guess
hard.
She still is, but she rode hard.
Yeah. So,
discovered everybody.
Yeah. So including hold on. So like basically Mitzi, I've seen her twice. She's in and out. You never really know when she's gonna pop up. But I just remember then was one, I think it was like a Sunday or something, and we heard, but getting a showcase, this is very difficult. Mitzi has to see you, but Mitzi's like never there and she's very old. And basically I remember showing up, I think it was a Sunday, but again, this is my version, you'll get your chance to tell yours. And people are like, Mitzi was here last night and she was in the main room. And she passed someone. She just saw them on stage and she passed them. And this was like,
yeah.
What? Mitzi passed someone and we've never heard of them. We haven't met them. What is this? Lo and behold, here it is. It's Justin Martindale. And you see this guy on stage and you're like, oh, yeah, I see why she passed him. And it's so, I think it's such a testament to her because she was so old and so out of it, but yet she still just saw you randomly. Without knowing anything about you, just saw your set, who knows how, you know, with it she was, but she just knew, like, oh, he has it, whatever it is, and I want him to perform here. And that was that.
Yeah, that was a good... That was a good...
How did I do?
That was good. I don't know if it was a Sunday, but I want to say it was right. Actually, it was 2009?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the day after Michael Jackson died.
Whoa.
So whatever day that was, because I remember...
I feel like that was a weekday then.
Yeah. I want to say it was a Thursday or Friday, because I feel like I was going home from work and everyone was like in their cars, like jamming out to Michael Jackson, right, like on full blast.
I was like, the guy I was dating at the time was doing boxing, and we had lunch with this female boxer, Naya Cheetah. I can't remember her name, but she was really pretty. And she was like, oh my God, Michael Jackson died. My friend's his chef. And I was like, oh.
Let's make it about me.
She was
my
very
friend
nice.
Cooks for him. Oh my God, not anymore. What's he gonna do? Yeah, I mean, and that's what was so crazy, because I had only been doing stand-up since like 2008, like October of that past year. That was June. Yeah, it was in June he passed away. So October to June.
Can I interject?
Yeah, that's your show.
I feel like... There's this law of stand-up. It's like you have to be doing it for 10 years or you're not good or whatever. And like, sure, I think that like it's good to be sacred about it and feel that way. But I also think that you can't deny that there are some people that are brilliant. Like, I don't want to say right out the gate, but pretty quickly.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that people want to hate on someone who...
Well, people love to hate.
People love,
they love to hate.
Anyway, that's just my interjection. I'm done with it.
Because, I mean, I remember... I never saw myself being like, oh, this is what I'm going to do. And I went straight to the top. Like, I didn't... You know, I've only been doing it for, like, months. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, like, I didn't know who Mitzi was.
Yeah, like, what was that like on your side?
Well, like, I remember the only shows that I had really done were just, they weren't I skipped the whole, like, open mic process, thank mm-hmm. God. But at the same time, do it if you want to get into it. But it's just, it wasn't me. And that was one of the reasons why I was like, oh, I don't want to, like, get submerged in, like, you know, like, three people in the audience and they're all on the show. And
yeah,
like, if I'm going to fail, I want to fail in front of an audience. You know what I mean?
Interesting. I actually really look back fondly on my times doing open mics. And for me, it was so much like a part of who I was at that time and my culture and all the people I knew that I loved it so much. But right now, I would hate to do it.
Right.
Just because I have other things in my life that it would be like, it takes so much time. I think it has to be all you're devoting yourself to. Anyway, sorry.
No. Yeah. So like They weren't like, I guess they were kind of like bringer shows. Mm-hmm. And then that, I was doing a show, I guess it was like April or May. And I just remember going by the Comedy Store and just being like, one day I want my name on that wall. Like, that'd be cool. Cause I had never even surrounded myself in that environment. Like, I remember Fortune Feimster and I, we kind of started at the same time and we did maybe like a belly room show every now and then, but like, you know,
Fortune
is
someone I remember because I started in 2009, so it was around your time too. And I remember when I first saw her, I was just like, holy shit.
Yeah.
This is like so, just when you just laugh so hard at a comic and you just, you're like, you worship them because you're like, oh my God, you are so powerful over me because you can just make me laugh so hard. I just remember like...
We started doing sketch together, actually. So we did like, you know, we performed at IO West and she was in the Groundlings and I had taken some classes at Groundlings. And I just remember the whole reason I got into stand-up was because the recession hit. And I was just like, I hate this. And I was like working in restaurants and people weren't paying us and... I'd go to work in a restaurant and it would be closed. So I'd have to like find another job because like it was bad out here.
This is the same for me.
Yeah.
I was in college and my mom lost her job and my dad, I just remember hearing like, I don't remember who lost it. I think my mom first and then my dad was, I don't remember, but I just remember a call where like my mom's like, your dad lost his job. And I was like, what am I doing? Like, mm-hmm. I'm racking up all this debt in college and my parents they can't find work. And I don't think that was my exact trigger, but it built up like within a month, I was like, this is bullshit.
This sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, keep going.
Sorry. No, yeah. And I just remember performing on stage, and that's what I did in high school. And it was just kind of like, oh, this is what I missed. And then I remember asking Fortune, because Fortune started doing stand-up, you know, before I did. And I was like, I think I just want to try it out. And she's like, go for it. And I was like, all right, cool. And I remember the first time I got on stage, it wasn't at the store, but I just remember feeling like, this is it. This, like, just that feeling of, okay, like, I felt like something, I don't want to sound cheesy, but I felt like too late. I felt like something like possessed me, or like filled up a void that I had been feeling. And it was just nice, and it felt natural, and it felt real, and it didn't feel forced. And, you know, it was actually really funny to have actually friends who came and saw me perform, and they were like, oh my God, we were so nervous, but yeah, you were great. And I was like, yeah, this is it. And then that night, when, you know, I remember that night getting up on stage, it was a sold out night in the main room. It was a bringer show, because I had performed in Kathy Lewis when she had her Friday night. Yeah, it was a Friday night, because it was Kathy Lewis's show. Yeah, and she was like, hey, I want you to come perform for me. And I was like, all right, you sound weird. And and it was packed. And I got off the stage. It was like 6 minutes. I sat down with my friends in the audience, and like Tammy Jo Dearen grabs me, and she's like, get up. And I'm like, why? I'm sitting with my friends. She's like, get up. Mitzi just passed you. And I was like, I was like, I don't even know what that means. I had no idea. And so I get whisked away out the hallway. And Tammy Jo, I love her to death. Like, to this day, her energy is just so funny. She's just like, move, just pushing people. Get out of the way. And we go up the stairs going into the OR. And Tommy's there at the time. And so Tommy's just like, you know, the Wizard of Oz. You know, he's like, what has just happened has never happened in years. You know, the last person this has happened to was, you know, I forget who was like, I think the last two were Whitney and Chris D'Elia, maybe. And then, like, you know, she passed David Letterman and Jim Carrey and Robin Williams and all those guys. But, like, I think that's what it was. He was like, you've been chosen. And I was like, what are you talking about? What is this? I had no idea. And then...
What were you thinking? Were you, like, a little excited or all confused?
I didn't know what past meant.
You passed over. Did you think you died?
Yeah, I was like, I don't want to work here. I didn't know what paid regular meant. I didn't know who Mitzi was. I didn't know. I just remember like looking around on the patio and like seeing like Bobby Lee and being like, oh yeah, that's that guy from MTV. And that's what I remember. Brent Ernst coming up to me and being like, he's like, yo man, if anybody bothers you, let me know. Everyone wanted to know if I was gay, like right off the bat. Everyone's like, are you gay? I was like, yeah. And they were like, oh, okay. Ugh. And everyone was weird about that. I'm like, you need to calm down. You're a six.
How were they weird about it?
Well, because it's like, it's such a male-dominated testosterone. We talk about a pussy in sports. Yeah. And, you know, I walk in with this fucking fierce hair. And I'm a good-looking guy. And it's very, like, threatening.
Yeah.
And so everyone's like, oh well, what's his fault, what's his deal, like should I be threatened by him or whatever? And then they found that out, and they're like, oh, okay, we're cool. Hey, but don't try to have sex with me. And I'm like, okay.
Did someone really say that to you?
Are you serious? I get it all the time.
Does every man who's gay get that?
But
when people say that to you, how do you react outside and in? Like, what do you think?
Well,
are you just used to
phase
it?
Phase one, there's judgment, just for like on me to them.
Yeah.
Like, if somebody's like, hey, don't get any ideas, I'm like,
ew.
You're good. Like, don't flatter yourself.
You're safe.
No, but it's the same. I feel like, in a weird way, it kind of like makes me relate to women. It makes me relate to, makes me realize like how gross men and women are, because women have come up to me and been like, I'll suck your dick. And I'm like, God, Jesus, I'll turn you. And I'm like, please don't.
No.
But it's not like I'm not like offended or like,
yeah,
it just comes with the turf. I mean, if you see something on, it's kind of like a rock concert. You see somebody on stage and you're like, oh, like, you know, you see what you like, and then you like approach them and be like, hey, you want to like get out of here? And you're like, no, I don't. Or sometimes, sure.
You do so much stand up that I'm sure that you have all these interesting experiences that a normal person would not have happened, because there's so many people that probably are coming up to you after shows and just feel like they know you and want to, you know, give you their opinion of you.
It is weird. It is weird. I've had the good and the bad, mainly the good. I haven't had any crazy.
So what happened? Did you meet Mitzi?
Yeah, I met her.
And
no,
was Tommy so weird? Like, was he crazy to you?
Who, Tommy?
Yeah, just being thrust into the...
Tommy always liked to remind me that I was gay. So he'd be like, you know, Mitzi, you know, I talked to her today. And I'm like, no, you don't think you did, but okay. And he'd be like, she says you were melodious. Apparently that's what she said. I was melodious. She's like, he's got it. Make him a paid regular. And he was like, well, we'll work him out in the belly room. And that was 2009. And I skipped so many hurdles and steps that I honestly feel like the past, 2009 to now, I feel like I've actually had to like put in the work and pay my dues and figure it out. Cause I didn't know what my voice was. I didn't know what I wanted to talk about. I didn't know, like, you know, I remember him being like, okay, put in your avails. And I was like, oh shit, I have to do this. Like, for real? You know what I mean? It was like, cause I was just kind of doing it as like a hobby pretty much, you know? And then it was kind of like, no, this is your job. And I remember I kind of got really lazy and kind of just kept doing just the same old thing because I didn't know how to write. I didn't know how to.
Yeah, it's fucking hard.
And then they were like, oh, let's put him in the belly room for a little bit and kind of work him out, you know, on those. And that's when I was kind of like, okay. But, you know, it's just still, not to sound cliche, especially around, you know, this election season, but I'm still trying to kind of break that glass ceiling, if you will, into the, because it's such a boys club and it's not like I want to be in that boys club. It's just, we're all friends, I feel like, you know, we all know each other, but to be taken seriously, because there's times where I can like, I've walked past several people and been like, hey, how's it going? And just crickets, like they will not even acknowledge.
Wow. It's really difficult. I mean, part of who I am is being an outsider, and so I'm used to it and I understand it and it's familiar, but that doesn't mean that it's always easy to show up to a place like the Comedy Store and know that there are people there who don't, I don't know if it's like respect or just acknowledge or want you there, or I don't know. It does suck sometimes to know that you're not included, and no matter what you do, you'll never be one of those guys. And I agree. I don't want to be that.
Right.
I don't, but I'll always sort of feel maybe a little rejected. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you feel that way.
I don't feel like this isn't like a boohoo.
No,
pity party.
By the way, I want to a little bit backtrack as over what I just said and be like, I don't care, because the climate that I'm thinking of is garbage anyway, and I'm very happy with my life right now and my podcast and all the stuff I get to do. So
that's the thing too that a lot of people don't realize is that everybody's journey is different.
Yeah,
totally different. And I mean, I respect, you know, everybody who's doing their own thing or whatever, but it's just like, I'm not, you know, I've always been a social butterfly. I've never had like I've never had one clique or like one group that I've been a part of. I've always been like, I'm gonna go hang out with the nerds. I'm gonna go hang out with the popular kids, the cheerleaders, the football players, you know, the theater kids. Like, it was all that for me growing up. So I've always kind of been that way. And so I can hang out with the big guys or whatever, but it's always interesting because I'll feel like there have been a couple times where I've been like in a room and like someone's just been like, why is he here? And I'm just like, because I'm in the room, like, calm down. But it's I don't feel rejected or anything. I just feel like I can't wait to push myself even farther. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And just keep growing and getting better and getting better, because that's when people actually show their true colors, is when somebody's like doing great and having success and working and living their dreams. When people are like, oh, hey, have you been? Like, oh, you look really good. And you're like, you didn't talk to me for like 5 years. You know, so I just kind of try and push it away and just do me, you know?
Do you. It's your journey.
Do you. It's my year. New year, new me.
Okay, how are we knocking in real quick? Talk about Gaga.
Mm-hmm.
Gaga, okay, so throughout my years of doing stand-up, I've only had one Gaga ally, and that's you.
Yeah.
I appreciate
it. That's where I feel like I kind of met you, was at the Lady Gaga concert at the Staples Center.
That's
remember?
Right.
And you were dressed up as her.
As Gaga, yes.
And you ran up to me, and you're like, ah!
We ran into each other, right?
Yeah.
That's
I don't even remember who I went with.
I was with my old roommate.
I don't remember who I was with. But you were dressed up. You had the blonde bob. You had like the lightning bolt glasses. You had a jacket with a bra. And that was it.
Pink glitter sequin bra.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, she gets it.
That was really it was the monster ball. Was it the monster ball?
It was when she had like that garage. Remember? It was like she sang, boys, boys, boys. And then it was like her first.
That must have been the monster ball.
I think it was the monster ball. Alejandro and all that, Born This Way and all that stuff came out.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a fun concert.
It sure was. Probably one of my faves of hers.
It was good.
Are you so psyched for the Super Bowl?
I am.
Gaga Super Bowl.
I am, because I feel like I can kind of relate to Lady Gaga. Because everyone, she's kind of fallen in. I mean, she's a pop star now, and she's kind of fallen into that whole, like, Britney. Everyone wants to see them fail.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, her, you know, art pop, more like art flop, you know? And I'm like, well, you know, you're not going to have. Everyone goes on a different journey.
It's weird.
Like,
I don't even consider that a flop, even though I did recently hear her on, I think it was on Stern or something, where she was talking about how that album sold so few records, so just didn't sell well and was critically slammed. But I don't know. As a fan of hers, I just remember listening to it. I enjoyed it. It wasn't like, it didn't change my life.
Right, right, right.
Like Born This Way or like The Fame or The Fame Monster, but. Or even Joanne, but it still was good. And I'm always so appreciative of when an artist that I love and admire releases any content that I am willing to like just love it, even if it's not really speaking to me.
I feel like I just like, she's an artist, and that's what I love. I love that she can like wear a meat dress and then sing like Christmas carols with Tony Bennett. And you know, and you're like, what? And I'm like, that she's talented, she's great. And I haven't heard all of the songs on Joanne, but I like this whole like, I'm gonna experiment with country music and blues and folk and get personal and emotional, and I'm dedicating this, the name of the album is my dead aunt or something like that,
which
right?
Which is so like a angsty teen who is just like alone in their room at night thinking about ghosts and it's so funny that she's, I just relate so hard to her, like, obsessing over this dead family figure she has, because I feel like that's so something that I would.
With the pink hat and the.
She's great.
I know. I love it. And I think it's going to be great, because she's going to play she's going to do her best hits.
Yeah. She's not withholding.
However, they have told her that she cannot voice her political opinion.
They have?
I don't know if it's been, like, what's it called? Verified, but they're like, hey, just do the halftime show and, you know, kind of shut the fuck up.
Oh,
but
that sucks.
And I'm really kind of hoping that she doesn't need to say anything. I hope either she wears something or there's a gesture in there or something.
She'll bring it.
Because I'm like, if you're an artist and a performer, I'm like, Beyonce did it. Jackson.
What did Beyonce do?
Nipple. She, you know, everyone's like, she had these women dress as Black Panthers and they were the Black Lives Movement. I'm like, shut up. Like, she was also like paying tribute to Michael Jackson and his outfit and you know, she did Formation and that was the song, My Daddy Alabama, Mama Louisiana. And everyone's like, she said Negro, she said Creole. I'm like, shut up. And, you know, I feel like if you have a platform like that, I'd rather see somebody make a fuss and make a stir up what everybody else is thinking than, you know, Katy Perry, you know, on some pharaoh flying off on a unicorn, dancing with a shark, you know.
Gaga is so not the type to keep her mouth shut.
No. You can't. I feel like, especially today, you can't keep your mouth shut.
No.
I feel like if silence is death.
I'm almost glad to hear that people told her not to say anything, because I feel like that is just going to make it even better. She's going to be naughty.
Yeah.
It's going to be way hotter of her when she does it.
It has to be. It has to be. And I feel like it's always interesting, 'cause, you know, I'm not a big football fan, shocker. but it always is interesting because I remember last year Sarah Tiana had a whole bunch of people over at her house for the Super Bowl, and I was like, oh God, Beyonce's performing. And, you know, the year before that, it was like Katy Perry and then Madonna. So they always like know like how to get the gays in. They're like, we're going to show summer movie trailers, commercials, and then the halftime show.
Yeah, it's true. Lately, I've really been drawn into the Super Bowl because you got a Beyonce, Katy, Madonna. Like, of course I'm there.
Yeah, I'm in.
And now Gaga?
Yeah.
I mean,
but then I'm like, who's next?
That's a good question. Wait, let's take a quick break.
Okay.
Guys, this episode of Weird Adults is brought to you by none other than Blue Apron. Blue Apron is the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. Blue Apron's mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everybody, including lazy fools like me whose parents didn't raise them right. Blue Apron has established partnerships with over 150 local farms, fisheries, and ranchers across the U.S. And as a result, seafood is sourced sustainably under standards developed in partnership with the Monterey Bay Aquarium Seafood Watch. That's a fancy aquarium. Beef, chicken, and pork come from responsibly raised animals, and produce is sourced from farms that practice regenerative farming. Blue Apron can be delivered to 99% of the continental U.S. and 99.5% of food deserts because Blue Apron ships the exact amount of each ingredient required for a recipe. There's no food waste. It's awesome. Cooking together builds strong family bonds, and research shows that Blue Apron families cook nearly 3 times more often. But don't think you need a family to use Blue Apron, girl. You can get that for yourself and then eat the leftovers for lunch the next day. Those who spend a lot at restaurants or high-end grocery chains can now spend under $10 per person for a delicious meal. Blue Apron offers awesome flexibility. You customize your recipes each week based on your preferences. Blue Apron has several delivery options. You can choose what fits your needs, and there's no weekly commitment, so you only get deliveries when you want them. So if you're having like a fast food week and you just want McDonald's for every dinner, just frickin' don't get Blue Apron that week. But then next week you'll be ready for it because you'll be like, why did I eat 3 Big Macs? Blue Apron's freshness is guaranteed, and they promise that every ingredient in your delivery arrives ready to cook or they'll make it right. Check out this week's menu and get your first 3 meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/Esther. That's E-S-T-H-E-R. You better know that H is silent, girl. You better know it. You will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so don't wait. That's blueapron.com/Esther. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Okay, we're back. I don't know who's next for the Super Bowl. Who could... I mean, once you got Gaga, I almost feel like that's like my Cubs win the World Series. It's like I got what I wanted and now I can rest.
Yeah, it's like the Cubs won.
I mean, Lana Del Rey will probably never do it, but no. That would be amazing.
No.
That'll never happen, though.
Let's think old school. I would think...
Pink?
Maybe Florence and the Machine?
I'm not really too familiar.
Pink should do it.
Pink would be awesome.
Pink needs to come back. She just had a baby, though. I love her.
She's so good.
I know. So underrated.
Truly a legend. Just so many good songs. So many hits.
She's so good. I love Pink. That's a voice. I remember I was talking to Candace Thompson, and she was always like, remember when Pink was like kind of like street? Like, yeah, when she like first started, she'd be like, there you go. Look,
I know. I didn't like
just
that.
Just because I let you go.
I hate it. Once she switched over to Misunderstood Style, that album, I was like, this is my girl.
I'm wondering if that was like the label being like, we need like a street smart, like lesbian chic.
Yeah.
I was like, is she a lesbian? I was like, I don't care if she's a lesbian or straight. I just want to know if she ever wants to change her hair color if we still call her Pink.
It does feel like that album was so fake and weird. Yeah. And then when she started doing the next album was like, this is me.
It was like, she said something, she had some weird lyric.
It was like,
there you go. Hold on. Just because Yeah, you talk about your woman that sometimes it bees like that. I'm like, no one says sometimes it bees like that. No one.
Well, then she had in her next album was like something about they something about being like Britney. Duh.
Oh, no.
She that
I went out with my boyfriend. I lost my table to Jessica Simpson. Oh. I was like, don't mention Jessica Simpson in your song.
Wait, is there a Britney?
Oh, she
like,
did mention Britney
she's
too.
She's so pretty. That yeah, just not, ate me.
I wish I could be like Britney Spears. Something. Yeah. And then Britney's just shaving her head. Oh my God, let's get real. Did you see the trailer for the Britney Spears Lifetime original movie?
What? That exists?
It's coming out in, I think it was February. It's called Britney Ever After.
Oh, I'm really sorry.
It goes in, it has a dramatic scene in the trailer where you just have the shears and they turn on.
Oh, no.
She shaves her head.
That is the first thing I'm doing after this is watching that.
It's pretty epic. And Britney, I don't know how the hell Lifetime's just like, they did Beaches, the remake. They did Saved by the Bell.
They're doing
Melrose Place.
So I'm like super Menendez Brothers obsessed. Mm-hmm. And I heard they're doing a Menendez Brothers Lifetime movie. And I got my hands on the script.
You did?
And no comment. But
yeah.
No comment.
Yeah. The Menendez Brothers are like back and hot.
Are they?
Yeah. Like they're all over the place. Like they're all doing, I guess it's like the anniversary or something.
Oh. Yeah, I feel like it's just because OJ got super hot.
Yeah.
And Menendez Trial was the same time as that. And it's like, how can we capitalize? You know, we burned through all the JonBenet stuff.
Ryan Murphy did the OJ.
Yeah.
And that's what I wanted because it got picked up the American, what's it called? American.
What's the story this time? Well,
the next season's Katrina. Hurricane Katrina, which I'm like, really? What's it called? American Crime Story? Yeah.
Is it? No.
American Horror Story, American Crime. Yeah, it's American Crime Story.
No, I feel like that's a different show.
Oh, The People versus OJ.
American. Maybe you're right.
I don't know.
Maybe you're right.
But then the third season is, what's the guy? Oh my God, I can't.
There's already a third season?
Yeah, they've already picked it up. Versace.
Yes. Andrew Cunanan.
Yes.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
And they're trying to get Gaga because she's an American Horror Story to play Donatella Versace.
I just got the chills in my I'm tingling. I'm tingling all over. That's who she was born to play.
I know, right? And she has a song called Donatella.
Oh my God. And I know she, like, her whole dream was to print. To be Marissa Tomei and whatever that famous movie is.
Where My Cousin Vinny?
Yes. Yeah. And she did like a spoof of it on SNL. But Donatella is who you're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Of course she'll take that role, right?
I just want to see like Lady Gaga in full Donatella Versace with like gigantic fish bowls in her living room filled with cocaine with like teaspoons. She did that, Donatella Versace. She would just have like jars of cocaine with like teaspoons in them. She'd be like, come over here and let's go to the beach and get out.
And I can't believe that's so far away. When I was little, my family used to tease me that I was gay, which I know is like super fucked up. But because I used to download like pictures of naked women and stuff.
Really?
Yeah. And so there was like
just like curious, like obsessed curious?
Yeah.
Like, what am I going to turn into?
I never thought about it like that because I never thought I would blossom into an adult. But so there was like this kind of. My family, it was never mean. They're just like playful and kind of bullies and just let's laugh at Esther. And Andrew Cunanan, because he was gay, they would always call me Andrew Cunanan.
What?
I know, it's
That's
really
so
weird,
weird.
But that was when my family teased me and called me Andrew Cunanan.
He was hot, though.
Was he? I need to look him up and see who my namesake is or whatever you'd call it.
Yeah, he was like the boy Yolanda Saldivar who killed Selena. He was like,
what is the story? I don't know it. Do you?
Well, if I remember, like, he was height of his career. You know, he dressed all those supermodels, like, back in the 90s.
Who, Versace or Cunanan?
Versace, yeah.
Oh, okay.
It was like Versace. Yeah, it was like Vogue and George Michael, that whole, like, Freedom 90 era with, like, you know, Christy Turlington, Linda Evangelista, Naomi Campbell, like, the supermodels. So it was like Versace was, like, huge.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just feel like it kind of came with the turf of like this guy had a relationship with him, and I want to say he like got too close, Cunanan.
Mm-hmm.
And Johnny kind of like pushed him away and was like, okay, you're getting a little crazy or something. And then I feel like there was something involved with a boat. Oh, no, no, no. Yeah. So he showed up at Johnny Versace's house and like shot him. And then he ran onto a boat and like hid on the boat. And I don't know if he got shot or if he killed himself, but like, yeah, it was like this whole like lovers, scorned lovers. And
I have to say, there's something about like the OJ thing and hearing about Cunanan and all the JonBenet stuff that really strikes a chord within me, because these are these stories that when I was little I would hear about and I didn't fully understand, but like I knew that everyone was paying attention to these stories on TV, and it's a weird thing that makes me feel like an adult, that I'm like getting to watch them unfold for myself. I don't know how to explain it, but it does make me feel like, oh, I'm an adult now, and now I get to hear about these stories and understand them. I don't know if that's fucked up or not.
That's how I feel about like politics now.
Oh.
Like, because I remember seeing the O.J. Bronco, and like, I didn't know, I remember there being a murder, but I don't remember like even knowing what murder was. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Does that sound weird?
No.
Like, I remember like, oh, he killed these people, but then it's like, oh, he murdered them. And you're like, okay, I don't know what exactly. I guess I couldn't fathom how somebody could do that to somebody else. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then it was, you know, Johnny Versace, and then it was Selena, and then...
The Selena one I don't feel like I knew about. Did you?
Yes, I actually heard that song today. I could fall in love. I mean, I'm so...
I need to know that
particular
song.
To Selena. I just feel like this is the saddest story. I guess because I grew up in Texas, and it was like... That was like our JFK, you know? It was like... I remember being in... I guess, well, I don't remember how old I was when that happened, but like, I remember like the teacher coming and be like, Selena's was shot. And everyone was like, no. And then like going home and seeing like the woman, Yolanda, in like the red truck. And she's like, I killed my best friend. And then like she passed away. And then that's what's crazy. Like, as you get older, you're like, oh my God, she was only like 24 years old.
That's so 24, sad.
24, 25.
That's awful.
And the president of her fan club killed her.
That's crazy.
But still denies it. It's so weird.
MAC Cosmetics just released like a Selena inspired, you know?
Oh, yeah. You know what? You want to hear something? And I'm not throwing any shade.
Okay.
But I'm sticking to my guns here because I feel like had Selena lived, there would be no Jennifer Lopez.
Wow. Honestly, Yeah, I'm here. I'm listening. Yeah, I agree.
Like, if you went into, like, a weird wormhole.
Mm-hmm. Alternate universe.
And you're like, hey, Selena, let's go get some chips and salsa. And like, Yolanda, like, met up with her, and, like, Selena's not there. And you're like, oh, let's just have some tacos. And, like, lived. And, like, that whole fiber of the universe just severed, and Selena lived, and Yolanda was crazy, and they locked her up. There'd be no Jennifer Lopez, because I feel like Jennifer Lopez's first starring role was Selena.
Yeah, that's so weird to think like that her way in was portraying someone else who was basically the person
who was supposed to be.
Yeah, what she became. Weird. It's weird to think about that, like looking back, because I only know her as Jennifer Lopez, but lo and behold, she's really the woman who stole what Selena should have had. And there's no better evidence than what blew her up is her playing Selena.
And
you're
that's
so
what people
right.
were calling her. They were like, Selena was... Because she had that album, like she had an English album that was supposed to come out. And that was her first single, was the I Could Fall in Love or whatever. Yeah. Or 'Cause I'm Dreaming, that one.
Oh, that's such
and
a pretty song.
And she died before it came out. So they stopped the album, but the single was released. And they were comparing, they were like, oh, Selena's going to be the Mexican-American Madonna. People were calling her like the Latina Madonna.
That's so huge.
Jennifer Lopez has kind of become.
Do you Do you feel like Selena
I
would
love
have,
this, like, we're just so, I know, like, so I always love talking to you like this.
I know. So I don't know enough about Selena to know the answer to this question, but do you feel that Selena would have been the better version of what J-Lo is? Because my instincts are telling me yes.
I feel...
because fucking Selena didn't get her big break in a movie.
Yeah.
She was a fucking real pop star.
Yeah.
And that is the way to go. Breaking through in a movie is not how pop stars are made, my friend.
Well, she started off as an actress, and then she was like, I can sing, too. Because she played Selena and sang the songs.
I'm calling bullshit right now. Mm-hmm. J-Lo is a fucking fraud. And there's a reason why she's always, like, hustling for press, because she's not the real deal. This has become a takedown of Jennifer Lopez. Okay?
Selena didn't, like... Selena sang with, like, her siblings playing drums and bass guitar. Like, she was
a true artist and musician, and Jennifer Lopez is just some woman who got to be Selena in a movie and then, like, probably got butt... I don't want to accuse her of doing stuff to her body, because that's not right, but...
Oh, butt implants? I don't think she got butt implants.
No, you're right. She didn't.
No.
But she's so obsessed with getting press and falling out. Like, this whole J-Lo and Drake thing, I'm sorry, that is so... all for attention.
All of it is. I feel like you get to that age now and you're supposed to do that. Mariah Carey with her backup dancer. Madonna who's she dating? She's dating some young... She's always dating some young
but
guy.
But I feel like those are genuine. But, like, to date Drake, one of the most famous artists out there...
And did he date Rihanna for, like, a hot while?
I just call bullshit on the whole situation. No. I'm sorry. Not sorry. You know, wait, another thing, while I'm in a bad mood.
Go for it. Unleash.
I feel like I overhear this all the time and I never open up my mouth, but people are always talking about how there's just too much TV. Everyone has a TV show. There's too many shows.
Mm-hmm.
Bitch, how fucking privileged are you that you think you can say there's too many shows?
Who said that?
People say that all the time in our industry, and I'm like, no one fucking back in Illinois where I'm from is complaining that they have too many options of entertainment to watch when they get home from work and when they're alone on the weekends because no one will hang out with them. Like, fuck that. That's so privileged and just like your head is up your own ass to be complaining about that. And by the way, I'm telling you, there's not enough TV out there. Because, like...
We need to play, like, the national anthem in the background of this right now.
There's not enough TV. Like, there's no one like you on TV. You're not on TV. You don't have your own show representing your voice, which is so fucking funny. Mm-hmm. There's no one like me. There's no one... Like, I don't have... I should have at least... For people to say there's a comedy boom right now, there should be at least 5 scripted comedies that I can go home and be like, oh, I gotta catch up.
Right.
And I'm sure there are, but I'm saying like 5 that are specifically for someone like me. There's Broad City, there's Workaholics, there's Search Party.
Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Loved you on it.
Thank you.
I finished that whole first season. I loved it.
Oh my God.
Loved
the second season is fucking so good. The show's so good. That should have been the first one I named, but I'm in it, so I didn't want to, but that definitely is my first choice. I just think there should be so many more shows exactly like Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, and people who complain there's too much TV, it's like, get over yourself. And also when I told my dad that people were saying that, he was like, oh, well... Because he's old as fuck. He was like, you know that when... He's like, everyone said that when cable came out.
Of course.
And
a lot of them are people who aren't on TV shows. And they're mad because they're not on TV shows. They're like, oh, there's just too much. It's so saturated. And I'm like, oh, well, okay.
Or it's just like people who work in the industry and are jaded. And I just think it's such bullshit. Like, if I was living in the Midwest and had a different job and... Even me now, I'm like, no, there's not enough shows. I want shit to watch. Like, that's makes me so lucky and so powerful as a consumer that there's so many options for me. Sorry,
That's what I like. And that's, you know, what I really like about, like, Netflix and word of mouth is, like, I love hearing, like, oh, there's too many shows. You know, when I heard about Westworld, I was like, oh, it's okay. Let's try. And then I loved it. And then, like, people are like, oh my God, have you seen the OA? And I'm like, no. Like, Brady Matthews was like, got me into Black Mirror. And I was like,
oh my God, that first episode with Jessica Chastain. No, not just Bryce Dallas Howard. How dreamy is she in that show?
She's great. She gained like 15 pounds for that.
Did she gain weight for that?
Yeah. I think she had the baby and then just kind of kept it going.
I love her at that weight.
It's healthy.
It's so inspiring and motivating to just be like, I'm pretty and I'm chunky and it's great.
And I'm redheaded.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a dying breed.
I'm fair skinned.
However, I'm very particular to San Junipero. Ugh.
Oh my God, same.
I wish I could just. What year would you clock in? Like, would you, like, if you were
what
like.
What a great question.
Yeah, they were 87. I think I would do 87 too. 80,
really?
No. I'd want to be like old enough to drink. Like, I'd be like, if I was going to go to a bar, I'd need like, I would probably do like 2002, 2003.
You know what can I say? I think me too. I want to be like when I was 15. I think that's like what I'm most nostalgic for is you're 15 years old. Like, you got Britney in the mix. It's just like Dream yeah. Within a Dream tour. You hit that up.
Yeah. Not the Maybe not the Black little, Onyx tour, but
the, no, yeah. The Onyx Hotel. No, not that tour.
Onyx Hotel, yeah.
Ugh. No.
Well, that's. I mean, I love hearing when there's like, oh, there's too many shows, and then having those options. You know, you don't have to watch them, but
it's beautiful. Yeah, you don't have to watch the shows, people.
You don't have to. I mean,
you jaded ass people.
Yeah. You know what? I still have not seen an episode of
what?
The Big Bang Theory.
I've seen it.
I've never watched one.
I've seen it.
And it's not like, oh, gross. It's just, I'm like, I just never watch it. I've never watched that.
It's weird. That is the most polarizing show I think I've ever heard of.
Everyone loves it.
Everyone loves it, but then I meet so many people who hate it.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That show is super polarizing. Okay, let's take a quick break.
Sure.
Okay, so do you know what's fun? Getting together with friends. Do you know what's not fun? Organizing and planning the get-together. Ugh. Funster takes the headache out of party hosting and planning. Hosting with Funster is easy, simple, fun. Most popular Funster events are dinner parties, potlucks, watching games with friends, birthdays, house parties, and movie nights. It's super easy to create an event, throw in the date, time, and location, and your invites will go out through your app in a text message, RSVP with or without the app, chat, share photos through the app, create a BYOB registry list, and have your guests pick items and split the costs. Host people you love more often. Download Funster at the App Store or from Google Play and plan your next party with ease today. We're back.
Okay.
So you've never seen The Big Bang Theory?
No.
But you've only heard of people who love it?
Yeah.
I feel like it wins
like every award. It just won like Best Comedy Series for the People's Choice Awards this year.
I feel like to comedy people, it's like almost a punchline. And then to normal people, it's
that
like
makes
the best
sense.
Show.
Well, like middle America's weird like that. Like we're like playing to them,
mm-hmm.
if that makes sense. Not like out of disrespect to the Midwest, but like, you know, it's like we're in LA and New York and all the content
yeah.
goes towards the middle of the country. And
I know people talk about that all the time, but I feel like I don't fully understand that breakdown because like, I feel like I'm both middle America and then also, I guess, a little bit of Los Angeles just because the people I hang out, you know, I hang out with Benji all the time.
Yeah. Like, I'm Southern and California.
Yeah. And, like, Benji and I once, like, we get into a fight over what's a mansion. Because, like, to me, a mansion is a house with 3 bedrooms and 2 bathrooms if it's, like, a big house. And Benji's like, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
That's not a mansion.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. A mansion to me is, like...
Maybe
high
4 ceilings, bedrooms. Yeah, high ceilings.
A pool.
I don't need
good
a pool
landscaping,
for a mansion.
And like modern art.
No, I don't picture modern art in the mansions that I dream up.
Oh, I do. Just like something weird. Like Delia from Beetlejuice. Like all her art. Like weird sculptures. And
that'd be so good.
That's what I want.
So you're really into the San Junipero episode of Black Mirror.
That's my favorite. Like that.
What do you love about it?
I just love that it's like it was a cool concept. I don't want to like give it away, but like if
true,
you haven't seen it,
don't.
But I just loved how beautiful it was. Like the music was fun. The costumes were great. The concept was amazing. And it was one of those episodes where I was just kind of like, where is this going?
I know. I had no idea.
And then I was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. And then I was like, I want this to be real.
I know.
Because the world is terrifying and scary. And I was like, if I can just sit back and be like, clock in, you know, and just go somewhere else and just relive the best times of, like, my life and...
It's such a good idea.
Yeah. And just the storyline of the two girls, and I was like, oh, it was beautiful.
They were so pretty and so cool, and it was a beautiful love story.
It was really, really good.
We should stop talking about it. Spoilers!
And then some of Black Mirror, I'm just like, holy shit!
I haven't watched all of it. But
oh, it's so good. If you haven't seen it, it's the Twilight Zone of our generation, I feel like.
Man, I don't know if I agree with that, but I guess why not? I just love The Twilight Zone so much, but whatever, you're right.
But some of it's scary. It's like a mix of like The Twilight Zone and Tales from the Crypt a little bit.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I mean, The Twilight Zone did very much like try and comment on society and yeah, I guess you're right.
Because that's what I thought was so weird. It's like how technology and all that's evolving and like how, like the Bryce Dallas Howard episode where I could literally come in here and be like, hi, Esther, how are you? Bloop. Like, that's scary. Like, just to think of, like, starting to just rate people. And that's what we do now on Tinder.
I know. Doesn't it feel like we're one hop, skip, and a step away from that?
The context with the memories and all that, like, where you can just, like, rewind your, what you see all day. Did you see that one?
No, I didn't. Ugh. But I do feel like if our country wasn't so corrupt, like, politically, that we would probably have all that technology by now, but we're just, like, spending it all on making rich people richer or something.
What do you mean? We're not corrupt.
Oh,
America is the best country in the world. First, why would you say corrupt?
It is. I'm not disagreeing with you.
Are you a dirty liberal snowflake? Are you a dirty snowflake?
I
one of those
do
mud
love,
snowflakes?
I
after?
Love our country. I do. Believe it or not. I mean, how can you not love our, like, where this is where we're from. You have to love your own.
I just love this whole, like, I got into a Facebook fight, which is weird. And I unfollowed somebody and unfriended them, and I didn't know them, but we were Facebook friends. And I said something about, you know, what did I say? Oh, there was that gif going around of like Barron Trump, the kid, mm-hmm. the 10-year-old, and, you know, the SNL girl just got like suspended for making a joke about him.
Can you tell me what happened?
So the inauguration happened. I don't know if you were there.
I did fly in.
But there's all these moments of like, you know, Trump's being like, there was, you know, I couldn't see because there were so many people all the way to the Washington Monument. And then it's like, I remember seeing empty bleachers. Mm-hmm. And there was that comparative picture with like Obama's inauguration, yeah. And then, you know, nobody there. And he's like, that's crazy.
Is it so wrong of me to feel almost like bad for that and not want to shame him for not? I mean, I am by no means Trump supporter or like anywhere near it. I obviously think, I mean, I'm not, you know what I think. I don't need to say it. But like, there's a part of me, like the performer in me, that feels so bad, like shaming someone for not selling out the stadium or whatever.
Yeah.
It's such an embarrassing feeling.
It is. Especially when you're like the president.
That's embarrassing. It's humiliating.
Women's March, I was like living for.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was great. But anyways, there's all these like gifts of like, you know, him getting out of the car and like leaving Melania. Like she's like with her Tiffany's box and she's like, wait, come get me. You know, he just like left her. And then there's something where he's like looking at her and she's smiling, and this one just came out today and she's like smiling, and then he turns away and she like frowns and like closes
her
mouth.
That was dark.
It's just like weird. So as comedians, we read body language and we're observant. We look at things. So this gif that went around, it was Melania Trump trying to high-five her 10-year-old son. Some people say he's autistic. Some people are like, no, he's just a 10-year-old kid. Whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go after somebody who's autistic. I'm not going to go after somebody
who's 10.
But at the same time, my job is to be a comedian. So Melania Trump's trying to give him a high-five, and he's like, ooh, and he's like, doesn't give her a high five. He leaves her hanging. So she like pulls away, and then he pretends to like hit her. And this is his mom. So I was like, oh, that's a brat. He's a billionaire's kid. He's 10. He's not going to have to do anything ever. Right. And I was like, I put it up on my Facebook and said something along the lines of like, today on I Drown Kittens, like as a show, like he's going to, like a little sociopath. People were calling him, you know, a Patrick Bateman from American Psycho in the making. And, you know, people are like, how dare you? He's a 10-year-old. You're better than this. This is, we shouldn't make fun of children. I'm like, I'm sorry. Kids are assholes.
Yeah.
Have you seen, I'm like, I go to, I
people
see.
People make fun of Honey Boo Boo.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, people make fun of Honey Boo Boo. People make fun of toddlers in tiaras. People make fun of kids who go get their, like, teeth pulled out at the dentist and they're, like, high on codeine or whatever the hell they're on. And they're, like, you know, mumbling stupidness and people put it on the internet. I'm like, I remember when Rush Limbaugh called Chelsea Clinton a dog. Like, get out of here. Like, everyone's so sensitive. And I'm like, I'm not really hoping that he drowns kittens. It's just like, you're better than this. And everyone's so sensitive and it's just stupid. Well, anyways, this woman writes for SNL and she got suspended for saying something like, Barron Trump is, he's going to be the best homeschool shooter, which I think is hysterical. But people were like the right wings were just like, oh my God. And okay, they suspended her.
That's kind of bullshit. Like, firstly, it's...
That's freedom of speech. But that's what I don't understand, Esther, is our president said way worse on Twitter.
Here's the thing. Like, the right or whoever it is, people are so allowed to be mad at anyone for saying whatever... You can be mad at that. That's a comedy writer. She made a joke that maybe you could see is insensitive. You're allowed to get mad at that. But the fact that she got fired from her job, to me... that's what sucks, and that's what's so...
She's suspended, but I don't know if it's like...
You suspended her for making a joke?
On SNL.
Like, they must have wanted to fire her then, because that's so ridiculous. Like...
It's really weird, and that's what they're really... And SNL's kind of getting into some heat, because it's like their whole thing is like farce, and like satire, and sarcasm. I'm like, you know... That's what's crazy is like Donald Trump, you know, has been mocked by Alec Baldwin for weeks now. And it's like this girl just went on Twitter and was just like, I had a little joke. And people were like, but yet we glorify, you know, Leslie Jones, who was like berated this past summer, racist slurs and called everything in the book, had to beg Twitter to be like, hey, can you help me out here? Like, it's like, where... Where's the line drawn?
That's such a bummer.
It's very, very strange. I don't get it. Like, and it's interesting to feel like, okay, well, it's weird because I did that at the store on Saturday. I mentioned someone dying or something. Oh, it's like Patrick Swayze. I do that whole thing where I'm like,
yeah,
you know, and I go, oh, it's okay. We can laugh about that. He's a real ghost now. And people are like, oh my God. Boo. But then I mentioned like JonBenet Ramsey and people are like, that's hysterical.
I'm like, that's crazy.
It's so weird. I don't get it. So quit being sensitive.
It's so hard to understand because part of me is like, I don't want to tell people to not be sensitive, but I also am like, we're just comedians and the bottom of this pit is like just a person trying to be funny. Mm-hmm. And so it's so sad when someone is punished for that when like, I don't know, it's just, they're not trying to be mean. They're trying to be funny. That's all they want.
But I think people want validation so bad that if they can be validated by going after somebody who thinks they're being funny and they can like kind of clock them and like catch them and people are like, yeah. And then that snowball keeps rolling.
Yeah.
That they get the validation from it.
It's such a bummer. There's this book by John Ronson, and I rarely read. I'm not going to pretend that I'm a reader, but it's called, what's it called? So You've Been Publicly Shamed. It's all about this. It's such a fast, easy, fun read. Mm-hmm. And it's just about like how people just clamor to attack one person for something wrong they said. Remember there was that woman who tweeted some super insensitive thing about Africa.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm not going to get AIDS because I'm white, which is, like, so lame. And
that's so stupid.
But, like, how everyone jumped on her and wanted to ruin
like,
her
kill
life.
Kill yourself!
Yeah. It's, like, what you're saying is almost worse than what, you know, it's just... Anyway, that book is really good if people are interested. And I feel like if people read that book, they'd be like, oh, they'd look within and be like, oh, why am I, like, trying to burn someone at the stake? This is not a good thing for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
See, I feel like it's like using that woman as an example. I'm like, yeah, if her job saw that she posted that, then that's, it's like her job, they're entitled to either like keep her around or fire her. I just don't like the whole like boycott, like it was the whole like boycott Delta Airlines, boycott Starbucks, boycott 7-Eleven, boycott Uber. Like it's just like shut up. Like if that's why I feel like employers are like, you know, wanting to know who they're hiring, like what's, you know, let me know your Twitter handle, let me know your social media, because they need to know who they're working for. And if you're going to post something ignorant and stupid and lame like that, then yes, I agree. They're like, hey, you're representing our company. Like, not so much. But I just feel like something like SNL, I'm just kind of like, what? Like, it's a comedy show. Like, she's not being serious. She's not. It's like what Madonna said. Madonna was like, oh, I want to blow up the White House. And people were like, she wants to. I'm like, Madonna's not going to blow up the White House.
Oh, my gosh.
The name of her vagina is White House. That's what she meant, you know?
Madonna is, like, just sipping green tea and going to bed at 11 o'clock at night. Like, she's not blowing up the White House.
Yeah. But people are like, did you hear what she said? I'm like, yeah. Did you also hear, like, what this administration is just lying about?
And have you also been paying attention to Madonna for the last 30 years? Because if you were, and you weren't just some newcomer, you'd fucking know her by now.
Yeah. She's doing yoga.
And Pilates.
She's wearing grills.
It's full of hotties. They're checking out her bodies. Mm-hmm. And you know she's satisfied. She drives a Mini Cooper and she's feeling super duper. I got a lawyer and a manager, an agent and a chef, 3 drivers, an assistant, and a nanny and a jet.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the lyrics.
Because, bitch, she's Madonna.
Na, 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 na.
Oh, so stupid.
Justin, I fucking love you.
I love you.
Thank you for coming and doing this. This was so, it took too long for us to figure this out, but yeah. I'm glad we finally did it. And I'm excited to have you back again soon.
Let's do it. I feel like it was good. We like started with like a story. We reflected and then it was like, let's get into the real issues.
We got
like
there.
Lady Gaga at the Super Bowl.
Woo! I'm ready. Na, 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 na. Thanks, man.
You got it.
As a branch of the United States government, it is the mission of the National Security Agency to assess and flag citizens of the country who may present a threat to its security. The NSA has clearance to wiretap by any means necessary.
Tapped. Incidental recordings of private conversations from the files of the NSA.
Now on feralaudio.com.